may remain seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We thank God for our fellowship in the gospel until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work among us will continue it until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Jesus, the Lamb of God, who has freely, perfectly, and in all holiness given himself for us to present you free and perfect and holy before God with all thanksgiving, dear fellow redeemed. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. This is how the Spirit describes these Old Testament ceremonies, these rituals, which are a shadow, but the substance is only of Christ. All these temple sacrifices and rituals were looking ahead to the coming Lamb of God who would fulfill all that was spoken of by the law and the prophets. Our text deals with something called the peace offering. It describes an offering unlike the other sacrifices which the book of Leviticus described, which were all on a result of what we've done wrong. This sacrifice had to do with what God had done right. It was the only sacrifice that was said to be a free will sacrifice, not commanded to do at a certain time of the day, but to be done freely. It's also known as the thank offering. The thank offering was a result of being at peace with God. And how has this peace been accomplished? As we'll see in our text today, we'll be reminded to give thanks. It is impossible to do so properly without Jesus Christ. Your sacrifice of thanksgiving is given only in Christ. Let us pray. As we hear your word, we ask you, dear Lord, to grant us the gift of true hearing. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. The text that forms the basis for this three-part study comes from Leviticus chapter 22. We read beginning at verse 17. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons and to all the children of Israel, and say to them, whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers of Israel in Israel who offers his sacrifice for any of his vows or for any of his freewill offerings which they offer to the Lord as a burnt offering, you shall offer of your own free will a male without blemish from the cattle, from the sheep, or from the goats. And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. This is the holy word of God. This sacrifice of thanksgiving is an acknowledgement of peace with God, something that a peace alone that can give us the freedom to truly give thanks. You could think of it similar to how we place our offerings in the offering plate today. We do so not because we are under constraint by the law, commanded to do so. We do so freely out of thanksgiving for what God has done for us, the peace that he's accomplished for us. The sacrifice that expresses thankfulness is only acceptable if it's given freely. Now don't forget to say thank you. Make sure you go over to Grandma and say thanks for what she's done for you. From little on, we need to be taught to say thank you. It doesn't come naturally. Where are the other 9 lepers? We are the other 9 lepers. We're the ones that, yes, are happy if you tell us exactly what to do. We'll go to the priest, we'll do what we're supposed to do, and everything will be okay. Doesn't some part of me think that dropping my offering in the church plate is what makes me a better Christian? Isn't there a part of me that thinks, oh, I'm that one leper that returned to give thanks. I'm here today. and yet being brought here only by command or by a debt is really only to be the other nine. The first national proclamation of thanksgiving was given by the Continental Congress in 1777. They began by saying, "As much as it is the indispensable duty of all men to adore the providence of Almighty God." Do we come today because it's our duty? What about the other 364 days of the year? Do we need to be told to say thank you? It doesn't come naturally, and it doesn't come freely. Too easily we offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, thinking we're fulfilling a debt of gratitude. Too easily we make this day into some sort of thing we do to give God what we owe him for the things he's done for us. We appease him. But really this leaves us under a debt, under the law, unable to do something freely. Only in Christ do we find a truly voluntary sacrifice. As it says in Isaiah 53, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Jesus laid down his life freely. What this means is the Son of God had no constraint obligating him to lay down his life. It wasn't the Jewish leaders, it wasn't the Roman government, and it wasn't anything in you or me that caused the Son of God to give up heaven to do what you needed the most. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. This no strings redemption is exactly what we needed to be able to truly give thanks, to be set free from obligations, to have all our debt paid, and to be fully forgiven forever. You may now offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. You may do so freely. You may be the one leper that returns recognizing that the true cleansing came not from going to the priest, but from Jesus himself. Yes, the countless blessings now are not a debt which we need to repay. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't even need your thanks. What he desires, though, is your heart. Rather than seeing in the offering plate a guilt trip coming toward you, perhaps we can think of it as a basket by which God catches the fruit that he produces in our hearts. Whatever those fruits are, the amount, the action, the gift, is only really secondary in what the Spirit is doing. Your sacrifice of thanksgiving is given freely in Christ. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. We'll sing hymn 442, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. We continue with verses 20 and 21. "Whatever has a defect, you shall not offer, for it shall not be acceptable on your behalf. And whoever offers a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord to fulfill his vow, or a free will offering from the cattle or the sheep, it must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defect in it." This is the holy word of God. Lord, continue to sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Remember the thankful Pharisee? In Luke 18, we hear of the thankful Pharisee. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." He was a thankful fellow. He was very thankful for all that he had done. The offerings, the fasting. And yet, is this thankfulness? Giving more offerings than the next guy? It must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defect in it. The old covenant was so much more than the outward show of our offerings or how religious we can be. It was a picture of what it truly meant to worship God, to draw near into his presence, holiness, something that simply could not be done if it had any defect or blemish, something that could not be done if it was not through atonement and blood sacrifice. Our sacrifice of thanksgiving must be perfect. The problem that the lepers suffered from was more than outward. In every thanksgiving, if we're left to ourselves, there really remains something inward, if we are not with Christ in this, that feels just like that Pharisee did. Thankful that I'm the one here to give thanks to God, that I've done the things that he expects more than those other people. The one leper saw what was going on. He recognized that he was full of imperfections, not just on the outside, but on the inside. And only in Jesus came the true perfection that we need. He returned to give thanks for what Jesus has done. The truly unblemished sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the only one accepted by the Father. Hebrews speaks of this in Hebrews chapter 9. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, it's talking about animal sacrifices, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot, unblemished, to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Here we truly find perfection. In Christ, the Lamb of God, who shed his blood for our sins and imperfections. As Psalm 51 says, you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. This is truly the sacrifice of thanksgiving, one that recognizes our blemishes and sees them all taken away by what Jesus has done. We cry with that tax collector, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Every day you spend in repentance is a day of thanksgiving. Every day you wake by praying, I thank you, my heavenly Father, that though I am like the sinners, I am the sinner. You've taken it all away in Jesus, by which my offering is accepted. Every time you care for your spouse, because of the way you've seen Christ care for you, is a day of thanksgiving. Every day that you help your elderly family member or neighbor or someone in need, because you've seen how Christ has helped you, is a thanksgiving. A true thanksgiving of the heart, in which all your defects are taken away and you're given the unblemished work of the Lamb of God. Your sacrifice of thanksgiving is perfect in Christ. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. We will sing stanzas 1, 3, and 7 of hymn 371. We continue with verses 30 through 33. On the same day it shall be eaten. You shall leave none of it until morning. I am the Lord. Therefore you shall keep my commandments and perform them. I am the Lord. You shall not profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. O Lord, sanctify us again and forever by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Several times this is said in the book of Leviticus. It's really what the word sanctify means. It means to be holy, literally to be set apart. To be set apart from sin, to be set apart from the world, to be dedicated to God alone. It is what worship life in Israel and in our lives really centers around. To come into God's presence, even just to say thank you to Him, requires a person be completely holy, set apart from anything imperfect. As we've seen quite clearly, we don't have this. We bring sin with us wherever we go. It will only be by the intervening work of God that we are set apart, brought into His fellowship, able to give the peace offering, the shalom of wholeness by which we have in Christ. Yes, our sacrifice of thanksgiving is sanctified by the Lord in Jesus Christ. There are many things for which we give thanks. The lavish tables that we sit down to today. The sumptuous food that hopefully we'll enjoy in moderation. But of what value are these gifts if they're not sanctified? If they're not set apart and special just for you? Yes, in Christ, even food is sanctified. Paul writes in 1 Timothy, Chapter 4, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Through the word and prayer, we receive food to the glory of God. We enjoy the food we eat today for the sake of Christ. Our food, our clothing, our shelter, our gifts that come not from a nameless God, but from the one true Creator who redeemed us from sin and death. As it says in our text, you shall not profane my holy name. I will be hallowed, holy, among the children of Israel. I am the Lord who sets you apart, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. You see how it's repeated, emphasizing one thing, what that name means. Endurance. An enduring, unchanging love that has come to us in promises. Promises that are kept. Who rescues the children of Israel from Egypt, as He promised. Who established them by His mercy in the land which He has given them by His promise. Who preserved them and brought forth from the tribe of Judah one who is truly holy and has saved us from our sins as He promised. Again from Hebrews chapter 10. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. For by one offering He has perfected forever those who are being set apart, being made holy. This is our thanksgiving. The one who has set us apart, who dwells with us here today, not in prayer or thanksgiving or food, but in the Word, who is there at your dinner table when you pray according to His name. What thanksgiving is there apart from this? We eat, we drink, and we die in our sins. Only in Christ, as Paul writes, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit has touched your heart to give you this knowledge of the one who's rescued you from Egypt and the slavery to your own sins, to truly be thankful, to be dedicated to your Savior. As Paul writes, such sinners were some of you, but you were washed, You were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by his Spirit. There's a few good reasons why the priests were instructed to leave none of the sacrifice till morning. For one, sanitation. But also think of how we, offering sacrifices in Christ, offer something that God is going to use fully, going to consume in every way for the blessings of his kingdom. How everything you do in Christ is fully consumed by the work of God's kingdom for the purpose in which he sent it. We use our gifts, our house, our home, our possessions, our life itself, to be fully dedicated to what he would do with them. Like the feeding of the 5,000, no matter how small, God works the greatest of miracles. It kind of makes, oh, give thanks, take on a whole new meaning. Your sacrifice of thanksgiving is sanctified by the Lord in Christ. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything with thanksgiving through us to God. Amen. We'll sing stanzas 1, 2, and 7 from hymn 360.